So my name is Daniela Dorneanu, and I will be talking today about how to do a dynamic service configuration and how CERN does it for a few time now. Just a few words about me. In the last 3 years, I have finished my master in computer science in Politecnico di Milano. Then I went for 6 months at IBM Zurich Research Lab to do my thesis, where I worked with the Linux kernel. Then I did 1 year at CERN, and I will be talking today about the work I was doing there. So what is CERN? Probably most of you have heard this acronym. Actually, it stands from Conseil Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire. It's a French acronym, as CERN is situated between the border of France and Switzerland. This is one of the biggest and the biggest physics research lab that is in Europe. It has been founded in 1954. 20 countries have put together monies, and they started this research lab in the borders between Switzerland and France. It is most of its part is in Switzerland. It's very close to Geneva. If you ever pass by, you can come and visit at any time. The campus itself is quite large. It's like a small town, and CERN runs like an independent state. It has even its own fire brigade. Employees working there have a sort of special diplomatic status, like most of the people working in other organizations in Geneva. As you can see here, this ring actually represents the area where the Large Hadron Collider has been built, and it was inaugurated in 2009. It's a 27 kilometers ring where there are some pipes where particles smash of 99.999 percent from the speed of light. And what CERN does, it actually analyzes all this particle smashing in order to discover more things about the world around us. So what physicists at CERN wake up and worry about in the morning? They have four main questions that they think about every day. So first of them is, why do we have mass? We say, I mean, it's good that we have, otherwise we will be wandering around, we will be decomposing. They made a theory about it. It's not so, it's quite old. It's called the standard model, but it hasn't been 100% proved. They are working intensively for that. The second question is, where is 96% of the universe? I mean, they say, like, we look around, there are planets, there are stars, and we can understand that we just know a few parts of the matter that surrounds us. The third question is, why aren't we 50% matter and 50% antimatter? They discover this antimatter, and they are intensively looking into it, and they wonder themselves, shouldn't nature be symmetric? And the fourth question is, how did the matter look in the first fraction after the Big Bang? And they are trying to recreate this particle with smashing very random particles in the LHC tunnel. So what does the Higgs boson have to do with open source? If we look back in the 1970, most of the physics analysis was done quite manually. So there was this bubble chamber where particles were smashing, and they took many, many pictures of these particles. Then there were some people that were actually computing, and they were trying to recreate the initial particles that entered the collision. Nowadays, on the big LHC ring that you just saw, there are four big detectors which are analyzing in a lot of details each of the particles that entered in a collision, and they are comparing all this data with the simulations that they are able to do. Actually, this picture is one of the detector, the CMS detector. This can be visited on Saturdays. If you ever pass by, you can talk with the visit center. So even further, what does CERN has to do with open source? As you can see here, CERN has a quite big data center, but CERN had it for quite a long time. This building that now hosts the CERN data center was built in the 1970s, and since then, CERN always was interested to update it with the latest hardware to be able to offer the best technologies to the physicists to analyze their experiments and which were the particles that interacted. If we now look at this picture, it doesn't look very special, right? Everyone has a data center. Either it has its own data center where it, or it's rented from some big companies like Amazon. They all have it. We don't think it's special. But back in the early 2000s, this was a big deal to have such a big data center. If we look here, this is a picture from how the data center was looking in the early 2000s. It more or less looks the same. We had like one petabyte of data to store every year. We had like a 2000s workstation. CERN just acquired a lot of Linux workstation. At that time, you have to maybe take into consideration Linux was still at its beginnings. And even there were a lot of communities implementing open source software, there wasn't any software that could manage such an infrastructure at that time. So what did CERN decide? They had the necessary infrastructure, we had a lot of things to analyze, and manually it wasn't scaling at all. So they started to build their own tools back in the early 2000s. These are open source tools, they still exist, and they were actually very successful for almost 10 years. However, this is how the data center looks today. It's not a big difference. The numbers have changed a bit. Now we have like 10,000 servers. If you look like at the number of cores, it's a bit more. All servers can have multiprocessors now. We store around 25 petabytes of data per year. And the physicists want to have this data for more than 20 years. Therefore, they thought that, well, the infrastructure that we have today won't scale in the next few years, so we have to get more data. They did some studies about it. They tried to look where can they do a new data center, and physically it was impossible to do it in Geneva because it was consuming too much energy. We consume like 3.5 megawatts of energy only for the computing. In general, CERNs consume like 100 megawatts of energy per year, which IT consumes quite a little from this 100, but still it was too much to make another similar data center around. So they acquired some new computing power from Hungary. So there CERN will have a remote data center, will acquire new computing power from there. And all this will happen in the next few years, but the IT staff will remain the same. As I said, at the beginning of 2000, CERN started to build their own tools. They were open source, people could download it and contribute it. However, not a lot of communities did that. And over the year, these tools became quite sensitive and brittle, and sometimes with only just commits, just one commit, people can break the dependencies for some packages. So a lot of things will break. So they decided that the in-house tools and the manual configuration don't scale anymore. As in the few years, there will be twice the same infrastructure as we have today, and the staff will be the same. CERN had to change something in their mentality, and they said, well, we are not special anymore. If we look around, most of the companies have much more servers than we have, and they manage to manage them with open source tools, and then we can use that. So in the early of 2012, they thought about starting a project about it, and the project was called Agile Infrastructure, as it was a very fashionable word at that time. So how did this migration started? They gathered around the IT engineers and they said, which are our goals? Well, we have a lot of machines. They which analyze, I mean, it's a good thing, the use case that CERN has with respect with which were our goals. CERN has a lot of independent experiments that they can be analyzed completely separate one from each other. So it doesn't matter if we have like 100,000 machines, they can run independently, they don't need a lot of collaboration. That was a good thing. So we have all this infrastructure, all these virtual machines that are running, but most of them are used very little. Most of the time they are idle, and when there is a big event, they run 100% or. So we wanted to improve the how machines were used. As I said, the tools to manage these clusters became very sensitive, so we needed to get new tools which are more standard and more easy to maintain. Also, until now, if a group had the need of a new service, they would make a request for a new machine, and in a few weeks or even months, the new machine arrived, and then that group started to install services on it. So the response time to get a new service was quite long. With the new project, engineers wanted to break this time to get a new machine over a coffee break. So still, if we get a new infrastructure, CERN has a lot of applications that they want to integrate, and which work quite well with respect to the physics experiments. So we got to the conclusion that we needed an infrastructure as a service cloud. Which are the benefits that CERN got from this? So CERN is still a special case with respect to its employees. CERN is an independent organization which is founded by at least 20 states in Europe. There are 20 member states and a lot of other states around. So its goals and responsibilities are to give something back to their countries. So all the people from these countries come to CERN and they work at CERN for a short while. And then they go back to their countries, and their responsibility or the goal is to share the knowledge that they got at CERN. However, if we think that CERN had its own in-house tools, things were going in the following way. When a new employee got to CERN, he was staying for a while with a CERN guru IT, and he was learning some new technology. And then when he left CERN, he knew something that he couldn't use outside. Therefore, this was something that wasn't good for CERN. They want to have a good outreach. So having standard tools that they were used very largely outside, it was actually a very good thing. So now people, when they come to CERN, they learn something standard, they are very competitive on the job market. Another thing is that when in need, CERN can directly hire people that know a certain technology, or they can hire them, give them a book to read, and then they can start developing. So the project started to look around for the right tools to use for building their infrastructure as a service cloud. With respect to a configuration management tool, there were many tools available out there, example Chef and Puppet, and CERN decided to use Puppet as it was a bit more widely used, and it was quite similar with the Quator management tool that they had before. With respect to the tool to manage the cloud itself, CERN chose OpenStack. And for the dashboard of the cloud, CERN chose the Foreman project dashboard. So there are a lot of talks here which talked about it these 2 days. I will not get into a lot of details. So Puppet is an open source configuration management tool which was developed and maintained by Puppet Labs. How it works? It is an infrastructure which is not very special, but it works very well. There is a master Puppet which we can consider to be a server, which retrieves all the configuration code, and then all the clients or Puppet agents periodically download this manifest on locally, and then they apply them. And after they finish all this, they send the report back with all the results. OpenStack. OpenStack, it's a quite new cloud configuration tool. It was started quite recently in 2010 by NASA and Rackspace, but it has matured quite quickly due to the high involvement of Rackspace, HP, Ubuntu, and a lot of other communities. It is maintained by an independent foundation which has around 6,000 members. Here, if we look a bit of the OpenStack analysis with respect to its contributors, we can see that the main contributors are quite big. It's Red Hat, HP, IBM, Rackspace, a lot of also independent contributors. So CERN felt quite comfortable to choose a tool like that to manage their cloud on a long term. The Foreman project, it's quite complex itself also, but CERN really looked at it and said, well, the dashboard looks really nice, it's very easy to set up and it's very user-friendly, and they started to use it. This is how, it's a screenshot from how the Foreman project looks. I don't know how well it can be seen here. So this is the list with all the machines. And you can actually edit some aspects of the host, you can restart it, you can assign it to a certain host group and set some policies directly from the web. And I mean, the benefit that CERN has to split these tasks was quite good. If at some point one of these tools is not very well maintained anymore, having this functionality decoupled on more tools will bring an advantage. They can just switch one of the tools and integrate it with a different one. So this was a success story for CERN. In just 1.5 years, they managed to plan, to implement, and to put in production this new infrastructure, which in the beginning of 2000 will take like 10 years. Changing their mentality has brought them a lot of advantages. Now I'll present my use case, how I interacted with this cloud exactly. So I arrived there and I found about the fact that CERN has a lot of licensed servers where they maintain a lot of complex applications which do electromagnetic and mechanical design and intensive experiment simulations. At first I didn't know a lot about it, but it was an interesting and challenging project to integrate a commercial application into an open source cloud. These tools are quite critical for CERN, and they need a lot of support in order to design some of their mechanical infrastructure and then simulate how it will work. To give you some examples, these tools are called CATIA, which is the official 3D CAD system supported at CERN. Other tools, COMSOL and ANSYS, are used for multi-physics simulations, and they allow to model process defining certain geometries and in more in 3D space or in 2D space. HFSS also it's a software that allows simulation in the electromagnetic field. Opera is more or less a general purpose software to design and simulate optimizations for the electromagnetic devices that they have. And they also acquired some standard tools for engineering calculation like Mathematica or MATCAD. This is quite a big investment for CERN. So they are interested to make it work on the long term and to have them quite pretty well accounted. Before 2010, they had these tools accounted using an in-house tool which they built there. It was a web page with a big data base which wasn't scaling quite well. So they said, well, we will acquire this new license and pay so much for them, and it's good to have a server that manages them right. So that time they looked at the license servers that they had, and they saw that most of them were compatible with a Flex tool that existed at that time, and they decided to buy this FlexNet manager to monitor and manage the license servers. This is a very complex application, but it can be customized a lot. And even they bought this application in 2010, it wasn't entirely customized to respond to their needs. So since the late 2012 until now, we managed to integrate this server that they have with their Active Directory and to report all the usage using the department information, which was quite important because most of the budget in CERN is split by department. And we were able also to include the products which were not Flex compatible in this tool to have all the report for all their products there. So this is an example. I analyzed, this is the data just for the free first month of the year. We had more than 800 users, all with different environments, and they used more than 220,000 hours these licenses, which are like, there are a lot of licenses. Even for a product, we have many licenses that they can use. And then when they don't need it anymore, they release it, and another person can use it. And this is how we split the data by department. So you can see there are quite a lot of departments, and it's important to have the data accounted using this information. How did we manage to pour this application and to customize it to CERN needs? Well, I couldn't have done it without the cloud. I automized all the process, and then I managed to include all the updates very easy, and every time I needed to make the smallest configuration change, I just changed the package, reinstall it again, and that was really easy. And I did this using Puppet. So what did we configure exactly using Puppet? We were using automatic RPM package builder, which is Koji. We were uploading our packages there, and then they were automatically updated. We were able to install on all our services the backup clients. We were able to add special repositories on these machines. We were storing secrets using Hiera, which is one of the tools that comes with Puppet. We were able to configure the firewall very easy just by using the Puppet module IP tables. We were restricting the access only to the group of persons that should have access to these machines, and we were installing the new licenses very easy. As I said, Just a few examples. In order to install a single package on a new machine, you just write one line of code, or two lines of code, I don't know how do you consider that. Just write the name of the package, and then you ensure that this package is installed. Therefore, when this manifest is applied on a certain machine, you don't have to worry about all the dependencies. Puppet will do that. It will install all the dependencies, for example, for the Java package. Also, if you want to create just one folder or a file in your machine, you just write a few lines of code, and then you are sure that this file is there. You will see if there was an error where the manifest was applied. So you don't even have to log into the machine to configure it. And then you'll be sure that everything is there all the time, otherwise you will be notified. To set up a firewall rule, this is all you have to do. You just have to, you don't have to know IP tables, you don't have to know about the chains, how they work, dependencies. You can just write this short directive here, and then this rule will be applied. Also, you can do a lot of complex things, of course. Like if you want to install a new server, you make your class, which in the background will do that, and you can call your class, then you do it, you test it, then you can call it all the time whenever you need to install a new small thing on your machine. And this was actually how I managed to do quite a lot of work, which wasn't done in 2 years, in a few months. So I will leave you with the conclusion using the motto that was used at the PuppetConf back in 2012 and both in 2013. Automation makes it better, or automation makes IT better. I really like this motto, and I wanted to show it to you. And also, there is a quote that I really like very much from Tim Bell, which is the director of the Agile Infrastructure Project at CERN. He says that if you contribute to open source, you might actually help to find a part of the 96% of the universe that we don't know yet. So if you contribute to open source, you can actually discover more of the things that we don't know around us. So if you have any questions, I'm here available to reply to your questions.
Microphone. Yeah, you mentioned that you have much administration stuff coming and going. And I ask myself, have you any good privilege separation? So when you have so much administration stuff that no one can harm the projects if someone is not loyal.
Someone is not loyal. So yeah, indeed, in the next year, there will be a new data center from which we will have a lot of computation power. So in the next year, we will have 50% more. Now we have like 10,000 servers, we will have like 15. But in the next 3 years, we think that we will have like 20,000 servers. But all this new computation power will be remote. There will be no sysadmin on the site to change anything there locally, so we will have to manage everything remotely. That's why we actually needed a totally automated way to do that, because we couldn't hire more staff in Germany. We just had the computation power coming from there. So we will actually split all the work in more machines now. Part of them will be there.
Yeah, the question is more, how do you prevent someone to make the security that you, someone can assess important data and take it with himself or something like that? Are there several security groups or something?
Well, all the services have split access by departments. So if we look back to the platform. I didn't get into details there. So all these machines, I mean, you cannot just access them. I can see them because I'm in a special group. You have usually no access to them, and usually you cannot see a lot of pages in the CERN website unless you are on the site or you connect through a tunnel, through a SSH tunnel. So the security, it's more or less the same. It's just we will have a special internet pipe coming from Hungary, which and through it we will configure all the servers there. But I mean, we will not interact a lot with. It's like a normal data center which is remote. The security doesn't change a lot with this new data center. It's more or less the same.
Oh, okay.
More questions?
Can you also apply the puppet system to client systems, or do you only use all the server structure?
Well, all the services are configured through Puppet. If you want a new service at CERN, you can just start configuring. You can start directly your machines. You can make a request, and in 10 minutes you have a new virtual machine which you can start configuring. And this is also for the clients. At CERN, we consider clients to be the physicist experiments. These are the main clients that CERN IT department has. So they say, well, we want to configure these machines which run this simulation, and we need these packages and dependencies and set of configuration. Then they get their machines. They also have their IT staff on the experiment itself, and the IT staff team there, they can start directly applying their services on client side. This is the client side that we consider. And they don't care where there are the machines. They can be anywhere in our data center. Yes.
You mentioned that it took 1.5 years to set up this infrastructure.
To get it into production.
Yeah, okay. So how many people were involved in that? How many developers? How many sysadmins?
Well, the core of the project, they gathered every morning. They worked in a very agile way. And it was, they were like 15 to 20 people. And at the beginning, I mean, they started by testing the things that they have around. And this took quite a lot. Like until March 2012, they were doing still this. And then they actually started to, they took a decision, we want OpenStack, then Puppet, and then Foreman, and they started to deploy them only for IT department for 1 year. So they were only available to IT department. But meanwhile, I mean, while they were setting this up, they were having monthly meetings with the experiments, with the clients. So they got all the feedback and they applied it. And at the moment, they have like 100,000 machines that they envision until the end of the year. But in the next 3 years, there will be like 300,000 machines that they will have. So yeah, it took them like 1.5 years to set up the 1,100 machines and 20 people.
Thank you.
Are there also some tool sets available for, let's say, shutting down underused machines or unused machines to save power?
Yeah, actually OpenStack comes with a lot of other tools, many, many other tools. It took a long time for CERN to decide which of these components he needs. And one of them is called Nova. And with this, you can just start and stop and kill any machines that we want. In one of the talks, there were actually describing two types of machine. One is called pet, and one is called cattle. And they imagine this pet like with a small pussycat that you get it, you nurse it, you start building on it. And these are the type of machines that the physicists are used to. They have a machine and they have it for 20 years to run. But the cattle, you just start it. If it doesn't work anymore how you expect it, you kill it. And they imagine this like a sort of cow that they do their work, and then when they are not used, you can get rid of them. So the goal is to make physicists think of machines as cattle instead of pets. So yeah, you have all the infrastructure to kill a machine and to start it with the same configuration again, because all this configuration is stored on a Git service. So it actually should create the same service on a new machine. So that, I mean, even if it's now most people think about machines as pets, CERN really hopes that, I mean, they are working on this. They are doing a lot of trainings with Puppet for the experiments, and now they are involving a lot of work to get them started to configure their services there.
Actually, I have two questions. The first one, what kind of monitoring system are you using to handle that vast growing numbers of systems?
CERN still has its own monitoring system, which they decided to integrate. But for the cloud monitor, they have a tool from OpenStack also. I forgot now the name. So the CERN monitoring system is called Lemon, and it's used to report a lot of metrics about a certain machine, like the usage, temperature. It can also start, it has sensors to restart processes. And this is the decision that they took at the moment to still use this monitoring service for most of the tasks. It's called Lemon, and it's open source. But I don't know what would be the decision in there.
And the second question I have is, you said there are about 25 petabytes data for every year. There are many rotating hard disks you're using there. How many do fail in a year? Are there any numbers you know, or?
Yeah. So we have around 60,000 disks, and we also store a lot of data on tapes. And every year, there's a high failure rate, you can imagine, and it's like 2,000 a year or something. They have to recycle, which is quite a lot. Therefore, having this recycling happening without any interruption, it's actually very important. And that was one of the other benefits that we had. One of the comparison was that how many CDs it will take to store 15 petabytes of data for a year. And this is a comparison that a lot of IT people like to include in their presentation. Do you have any idea how many CDs? not exactly. They approximate like for 15, it's like 30 kilometers. I mean, you can start doing some computations. It's like, yeah, if you store 1 giga on roughly on a CD, it gets to like a number of kilometers, like 20, 30 kilometers. It depends how thick is the CD. It's around that. But yeah, the picture was from to the moon. It's very large. Yes?
Do you have an own Linux or Unix distribution using at CERN? Or?
Yeah, so they use a Linux distribution that they modified on, it's based on Red Hat, on Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and it's called Scientific Linux. And they actually distribute now machines in this cloud, both for Red Hat 5 and Red Hat 6. So it's more or less Red Hat, but they installed some packages by default that will get every service started more easily. Most of the servers now are Linux, and some of them are Windows.
Then let's thank the speaker.
Okay, thank you.